Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, April 13th, 2014. Pastor Paul Talbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
God's word for our meditation today is taking what happened in that last week. We're going to look particularly at what happened on that last day. We're going to look particularly at the word, "It is finished." And that's on a Palm Sunday thing. So as a start off, I'm going to start us off with a little children's devotion using this poster up here and this thing to carry the poster. Do I have any children want to come up here? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the wrong place for this children's devotion, Pastor. Man. This is a poster. When you roll up the poster, hi. Do you know why you roll up posters? So they'll be safe, right? You don't want anything on the outside. Why else do you roll up posters? Takes up less room. And if I want to send it to somebody, how come I don't fold it? Yeah, it would ruin it, okay? I'll show you what this poster is. I like this poster. This is a poster that we had up last year during our 25th anniversary. Mrs. T, my wife, drew that picture. And then I made it really, really big and made it into a poster size. Now, if I fold it, there'd be a crease right there where you could see where it would fold. So what I'm doing is I'm going to roll it up like this, and I wanted to send it to somebody. And if I'm going to send it to somebody, I take it down to the post office. I say, "Sir, I'd like to send this to somebody." And the post office man will say, "You know, you're going to ruin your poster if you send it like this." Why would I ruin my poster if I would send it like this? It'd be too big, yeah. What else? One more thing. If it's raining outside, what happens to my poster? It gets wet. And what happens if a poster gets wet? It's usually deteriorated. It just gets all messed up, okay? So then what happens is, okay, he says you got to put it into a poster container. This is a poster container that you put the poster in, and then I get to send it. And then I say, "Oh, good. All right, I'm going to send it now." And he says, "No." Oh, it came out. "Okay, I'll send it now." And he says, "No." And I say, "What's wrong?" And he says, "Well, it's like this, Pastor. You have to have it big enough to contain the whole poster, or otherwise it just pops out at each end. It's not any good." This, by the way, is what happened on Hosanna Sunday, on Palm Sunday. And the kids knew it. The grown-ups didn't know it very much, not all of them, but some of the kids knew it. And when they did it, they said, "Oh, cool, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna." And they said, "Oh, great, because the Messiah was coming." And it's kind of like putting this. They couldn't keep it in the container. And they'd say, "Shh, quiet. You're in the temple." And they'd say, "Okay, Hosanna. Oh, it just slipped out. I'm sorry. Hosanna. Oh, Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna." And they'd go on and on and on because they're so happy. And why were they happy? Because Jesus was coming. Jesus was coming. Jesus was a friend of children. Jesus took away all of our sins. I don't know about you, but I've done some sins in my life, you know? I remember once I stuck out my tongue at my mom, and my mom saw it. It was not a very pleasant time for me, because I got really scolded bad. How come I got scolded bad when I stuck my tongue out? Yeah, it's not the nice thing to do, is it? Yeah, yeah. And I remember one time my dad told me he wanted me to rake the yard all by myself. So I had the rake and I was raking the yard. And I got tired after 2 minutes. So I put down the rake and I went over to the park and I played in the park. And my dad came home. What do you suppose my dad said to me? "What are you doing over at the park? I told you to rake the lawn." I disobeyed my dad. That was not very pleasant either. No. So what happens is the children knew that all the naughty things they do, that's a lot of stuff, and you can't make it right. I couldn't go back and undo anything they had done. But Jesus came and he says, I'm going to take away all your sins. And he told the children this, and they said, oh, that's great. Hosanna. And then they said, uh-oh. People said, shh, you're too noisy. So they said, Hosanna. Whoops. Hosanna. And they just kept on popping out, and that's what happens. So today, when you're singing a song in church, if you want to sing it really loud, you can sing it really loud. And not a single person will look at you funny. Because I just said, it's okay. It's okay to sing loud to Jesus. He loves to hear us sing. So let's go to him in prayer, shall we? Dear Jesus, thank you so much for taking away all of our sins on the cross. I can hardly keep that good news inside. Oh, I love to sing Hosanna, and I love to praise you. And thank you so much for coming back to life again on Easter. I can hardly wait till next Sunday when I get to celebrate with everybody that you are alive, my Savior. Amen. Now you may quietly go back to the seats. Here we go with the next installment of the story.
Jesus was celebrating the Passover at a meal with his disciples. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and wine from the table and said, "This is my body, this is my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins." After the meal, Jesus and his disciples went into a nearby garden to pray. The disciples fell asleep, but Jesus continued to pray, emotionally, asking God for some way out of what was about to happen, but saying that it was ultimately up to God. Just as he finished, a large crowd with swords and clubs, led by Jesus' disciple Judas, came and arrested Jesus. Another one of his disciples, Peter, tried to defend Jesus. He took out his sword and cut off the ear of one of the high priest's servants. But Jesus told him to put away his sword and reached out and touched the man's ear and healed him. Jesus was led away, beaten and spit on by those who arrested him. And he was taken to the Roman governor, Pilate. Pilate told the crowd that he could find no real charges to bring against Jesus. But the crowd screamed out, "Crucify him," demanding that Jesus be executed. So Pilate handed Jesus over to be killed. When Judas saw that Jesus was going to be killed, he was filled with regret and sadness for betraying him. So he went back to the Jewish leaders, gave them their bribe money, and went out into a field and hanged himself. Jesus was crucified, nailed by his hands and feet to a wooden cross. Then, even though it was only noon, the sun stopped shining, and darkness came over the whole land. Hanging from the cross, Jesus cried out, "My God! My God, why have you forsaken me?" Someone nearby then gave Jesus a drink by filling a sponge and lifting it up to Jesus on a long stick. After Jesus took a drink, he said, "It is finished," and died. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook. When the guards and the others around Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified, saying, "Surely he was the Son of God."
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, fellow believers, if you know me very well as your pastor, you know already some of my strong points, and you, By now, you're really well aware of my weak points. One of my weak points is I've always been just shy of a 98-pound weakling. And because of that, probably the only thing I really enjoy doing is running. And so I like cross country, but as far as other sports go, my children love to play. When I teach them how to play basketball, you shoot the hoops, you know, and play horse. And they would play elephant or hippopotamus, and I would play pig, and they would still win. It was very sad. But I do like to keep track of things going on. And I like to keep track of, and as I'm reading things, I run across this guy by the name of, Claude Harmon. Claude Harmon was a golfer. I guess he was a really, really, really good golfer way back in the day. Well, Claude had four boys who also became good golfers. Claude was a golfer coach. His four boys became golfer coaches. And the story says, of course, no one can tell whether this is true or not, but the story says that he told his sons once, got them all together, he says, what you need to do when you have a new person come in, you have him swing at that ball 10 times because you can tell everything bad about that golfer in 10 swings. And your job as a coach is to find the one swing, the one thing he's doing wrong that's causing all the other things to go wrong. So he was into detail. He's into all sorts of things. And when I read that, I thought, boy, isn't that the case today? When you look around today and you see all the problems in the world, what's the first thing that comes to mind? If a child is misbehaving, what? ADHD. If a dad is misbehaving, it's like, oh, he's stressed out at work. If a mom is misbehaving, she's like, oh, she is just exhausted. She is just emotionally drained, and there is nothing for her to get sustenance from. All these big words. When nations misbehave, well, there seems to be a conflict in the area, and we'll have to address it as quickly as we can. When the weather misbehaves, it's because you drive too many cars, or you don't drive enough cars. You don't drive the right car. My goodness, we're really good at assessing all sorts of things that are wrong, but guess what? We don't go to the one thing that's wrong. It doesn't matter how often you look at the news or all what exposés you follow on the flashings up on the internet. It doesn't matter. Nobody mentions the one big thing from which everything else flows, and that's sin. And God is really specific. The reason why crops fail is because of sin. It has affected all of creation. The reason why the weather goes crazy is because of sin, because it's affected all of creation. The reason why people fight is because of sin. The reason why people don't have enough is because of greed or mismanagement. Oh, my goodness. We're really good at pointing out what's wrong, and we miss the one root thing. The reason why I might be dying of cancer or you might have a heart problem is not because you eat or don't eat this or that or drink or don't drink this or that. It's because of sin. The bottom line is when you get through all the stuff and you cut through it all down to the bottom, it's sin. God hates sin. I, the Lord, hate sin, quote unquote. Well, that's good if I'm comparing myself, because if I say, well, me compared to you, well, that's good, because I'm not quite as bad a sinner as he is. You know why? He's lived longer than me, so there's got to be at least statistically more sins on his record, right? God doesn't look at sin like that. He looks at sin as if you sin just one time. If you tell one white lie, God says, oh, you lied? That breaks the second commandment. Oh, by the way, it also breaks the eighth. Oh, and that also breaks the first. You can't get into my holy heaven because I'm holy. I have no sin. I hate sin, and my holy heaven is reserved for sinless people. So that leaves us in a really big bind. Because I don't know if you looked in the mirror lately or not, but the person staring out at you is a sinner. And it's an uncomfortable feeling. But someone's got to tell it like it is. Sin is something that God hates, and you and I continually sin. So how can we gather here today? To hear me yell at you one more time? Say, oh man, no. No, to make sure that you understand what sin is. Sin is when you choose your way over against God's way. Sin is when you reject God doing anything in your life, anything good or bad, because you want to call the shots. That's what sin is. Adam and Eve in the garden, they sinned. Noah after the flood, he also sinned. So did David. So did Solomon. These are all men and women who sinned against the Lord God. And the wages of sin, here it comes, the wages of sin is death. Forever kicked out of paradise. Forever separated from God. And that's how you and I are conceived and born now. That's what the scriptures say. So what's up with the love part? Well, the love part is that God knew about our problem and he stepped into history to take care of our problem. The reason why he stepped into history is because he loved us with an incredible love. God says very rarely do you see someone of their own free will lay down their life for a friend. He says, I call you my friends. I lay down my life for you. A couple years back, I think it was 1978. I want you to remember that number. Ready? 225. Flight 225. Northwest Airlines. Anyway, it was involved in an air crash. And it went down and it hit a field and partly went onto an interstate or a highway of some sort. Terrible, terrible tragedy. And with a huge fireball, the people who were close to it, they came away, their faces were just seared just watched it happen, and they couldn't get close to get anybody out. They're just so sad. And there was one survivor. The survivor was a 4-year-old girl still strapped to her seat. What had happened is, when the mom realized the plane was going down, she unbuckled, knelt in front of her child, and shielded her with her body. And the mom died. And the child lived. She's now about her 30s. My guess is she's doing everything possible to make sure that people know all about her mom, who showed that incredible love and gave her that gift of life. That's what God did on the cross. Someone had to pay. We're going down the tubes, and someone's got to pay. And what he does with each and every one of us who trust in him, he says, you know what? I got you covered. And he wraps his arm around us. And on Good Friday, he died. And he took the heat for us. That was an awesome moment. When you come to Good Friday again this week, again, we're going to pause. We're going to look at that one moment in history where everything changed. Where God's love on the cross so goes beyond our understanding, we just are silent. And we say, thank you so much. It didn't stay there on the cross, though. You need to understand why we get together all the time. If you're visiting with us or if you're watching online, you need to understand that our Savior isn't dead. Our Savior, after he gave us the gift of life on the third day, he told us ahead of time, I'm going to come back to life again. And guess what? He did. He kept his every promise, and that's how come you and I get together And we celebrate this great God and Savior of ours who not only shielded us, but then came back to life so we would know for certain that our sins are gone. Our standing before God is right. So now what are you going to do knowing that God has shielded you? Don't keep it to yourself. Find some way to share the good news with somebody else so that they can join you and me and all other believers in heaven. In his name, so let us live. Amen.